This is The Immigration Conversation, presented by Fragomen, a series of talks and discussions by leading immigration lawyers and professionals from around the world. We'll bring you the most up-to-date business immigration news, issues of concern, and strategies in the world of global immigration and mobility.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this podcast, where we'll be talking to you about the proposed critical skills list in South Africa. My name is Lunga Mani. I'm the practice leader for Fragomen Africa, based in Johannesburg. We provide immigration services into the sub-Saharan Africa, including South Africa. On 18 February 2021, our President, President Cyril Ramaphosa, during his State of the Nation address, stated out some key objectives that they will be looking to deliver in this year, being 2021. One of those key objectives was the release and implementation of the critical skills list, which will look to amend the old one that was published in 2014. That was released a week later on the 25th of February. I must say that this was a list that was highly anticipated by those in the immigration service, as well as companies who had people that were on the critical skills list. To talk about this list in greater detail, I'm joined by my colleagues, Johannes Stieber and Bulelo Mvingwana, and I'm going to ask them to introduce themselves to you. Johannes?
Hi, Lunga. Hello to our listeners. My name is Johannes Stieber. I'm a senior manager at Fragomen Africa. I've been in immigration for over 20 years and also for 6 years with Fragomen. Thank you. Over to you, Lunga.
Thank you, Anessa. And Bulelo?
Thank you, Lunga. My name is Bulelo Mvingwana, South Africa Inbound Immigration Manager. I've been in immigration for the past 11 years and 7 years with the firm Fragomen. Thank you, Lunga.
Thank you, Buli. I'll just go straight into it, Johannes, and start off by saying in 2011, there was an amendment that was made in the Immigration Act of 2002. In fact, this amendment, which is significant to us, was the introduction of the critical skills visa to replace the exceptional skills visa. And I'm sure that there was a lot of considerations that were looked at when this visa change was brought into place. I would like you to talk to us about your views on these considerations and whether or not it is still required for our country.
Thank you so much, Lunga. As a point of departure, I would like to point out that the critical skill list is still needed in the country to guide us or to guide the government in identifying the skills that the government or the country needs for economic development. I think of great importance is just to provide a brief background on the birth of the critical skills visa. Before this visa, there was an exceptional skills visa that catered for those who are exceptional skills in either art, business, or even academia. In addition to that, we also had another skill, another visa called a quota skills visa. Quota skills visa worked like the critical skills visa. However, having both of them was found to be a bit contradictory. There was a need to have one visa that will focus on the skills that the country needs for economic development. But of great importance was also to ensure that the country is well positioned from the skills point of view in taking advantages that were present in areas of nuclear energy, ocean economy, and most importantly, business processing, as those companies were being set up all over the world to support clients in other parts of the world. So, for South Africa, the critical skill list provides the government with that much-needed leverage to be able to regularly check, to regularly change the list as and when the country is able to produce the skills that it needs. Unfortunately, it has taken over 5 years to change the current list, And currently, the process is in consultation, and we expect it to come to an end by the 31st of March. And once the process has been concluded, the final list will be prepared, and we expect it to be finally approved by the Minister for implementation within the critical skills area. Thank you, Lunga. Over to you.
Thank you, Johannes. I must say that this proposed critical skills list was preceded by another list, which was published by the Minister of Higher Education, Science and Innovation, Minister Blade Nzimande. The other list that I'm referring to is a list called the National List of Occupations in High Demand. Having gone through that list myself, I realized that there's quite a few occupations that they say that are in high demand. I would like you to give me your view as to whether or not you think this list was also considered when this new critical skills list was being drafted. And also, that list, the list that was published by the Minister of Higher Education, talks a lot about the occupations compared to the skill that we're referring to here. Would you say that that's the same thing, or there's a difference between an occupation and a skill?
Hi, Lunga. Your understanding is correct. The list developed by the Department of Higher Education, it's part of their ongoing research to see where we are in terms of developing the critical skills that we need within the country. In fact, they look at jobs, not the skills, because they are aware of the fact that much as one has acquired knowledge, to develop experience in it will take time. So when the critical skill list is finally developed, in most cases, one of the requirements that is put in is the years of experience. Sometimes they can say one, in addition to academic qualification, or two. And that is just that. In short, it is simply the research that lays the foundation, and the list that is developed by the Department of Home Affairs comes from some of the jobs that were identified by the Higher Education Department. Thank you, Lunga.
Thank you, Johannes. Bully, let me just turn my attention to you for now and talk about the biggest winners and the biggest losers. I'm going to use that loose language like that. I have gone through the list. I have noticed that there's some skills that are not included now, and there's also some skills that have been included. Who would you say are the biggest winners, and who would you say are the biggest losers in this case?
Thank you, Lunga. So definitely the revised list will have significant implications for companies operating in skills shortage areas. And although a number of new skills shortage areas have been included, such as those in the information technology, engineering, and accounting industries, various skills shortage areas identified in the 2014 list have been omitted from the revised list. So having said that, I would say that the biggest winners is probably the financial sector, where accounting is quite a number of options on this new list. The biggest losers by far are the foreign languages, which fall under the current BPO category. The department seems to be leaning more towards professional services, and it shows with the various categories for managers in different sectors. This would also seem that the corporate general manager is being replaced and has fallen away with this new list, along with business analysts, systems integration specialists, which was under the ICT category. This particular occupation and skill catered for both IT as well as telecommunications sectors. Thank you, Lunga.
Thank you, Bully. Johannes, I would like to come back to you when it comes to this one. There's a skill that we've always looked at, and we've always said that it was key. Maybe it was key because of what the strategic drivers for the country were in 2014. These are the engineers. I see that now quite a few engineering sectors skills have been removed. Mechanical, electrical, energy, and also the technicians and the technologies in those fields, and technologists in those fields. Would you say that that is because the country has had enough time to develop those from varsity and also gave them the skill in the 7 years that we've had the current list? Or would you say that maybe those are not the strategic drivers anymore for the country. What is your view on this?
Thank you so much, Lunga. It is my considered view that the omission of engineering fields within the skill, within the proposed critical skill list, it's a grave error, most importantly at a time when the country is considering a number of infrastructural projects that it will undertake. And two, at a time when we continue to experience or to learn about South Africans who are leaving the country for greener pastures. Omitting that, it's a serious mistake. And I hope and believe that during the consultation process, those companies or those institutions that have been badly affected will be able to make their contribution accordingly so that the authorities can finally put back those professions on the critical skill list. I must note that to be really competent in that area, you need exposure and also experience of years and years in the field. And actually, within a time frame of 5 years, I don't think that's adequate enough to say that we have developed those skills. We might have developed them on paper, but experience-wise, in undertaking large infrastructural projects, is something else altogether. Thank you so much, Lunga.
I certainly agree with you there, Johannes. I think one of the projects that come to mind is a Total project just off the coast of Cape Town, where they found gas and there's gas extraction taking place. I must say that I thought that the skills that will be required there are going to be listed as critical skills, as that is something that is new for South Africa. With that said, I just want to move back to Buli here and ask, Buli, if we are looking at the critical skills list and its impact on the current critical skills visas that are already there, and what would you suggest that maybe companies do that have been affected by the changes in this proposed critical skills list?
Thank you, Lunga. So based on my previous experience with the changes in 2014 from exceptional skills to critical skills, there was no transition process from old to new list. And therefore, it is important to review the current population on critical skills so as to determine which employees would still fall within the updated list and which ones will no longer qualify on this list should it remain as is. I think further review would be advised for those that are on the general work visas as well, so also as to ascertain if they can now benefit from the new list. But what is also vital is to review those who no longer or those who are no longer catered for on the skills list. We would advise that looking into applying for permanent residence as soon as permanent residence applications can be submitted with VFS and the Department of Home Affairs. We would also need to look at whether they would need to be moved from critical skills and look into another visa category, which would then be the general work visa, where we would still need to look at whether there is a possibility to apply for waiver or if the companies would need to apply for the Department of Labor certificate. So those are the things that we as Fragomen could assist on in terms of assessments. Thank you, Lunga.
Thank you, Buli. From what you're saying, if I can just sum up, it's not all doom and gloom for people or for assignees that are on a critical skills visa who are not catered for in this one. There are options. What we always look to do as Fragomen is to make submissions to the Department of Home Affairs, where we'll submit that some of the skills that have been omitted are still vital to the economy and they're critical. Also, if you are on a general work visa right now, you may benefit from this, from the new categories that have been brought in. I can see that there's also some roles in marketing as well as policy analysts. Those are things that we think that if one was in a general work visa, they will benefit in that. They don't need to renew their general work visa and go through that cumbersome process, but now they can simply apply for a critical skills visa. Should you want us to assist you with the assessment or want us to assist you with a submission to the Department of Home Affairs, I would like you to reach us on africainfo@fragomen.com. I repeat, africainfo@fragomen.com. Thank you for time and thank you for being part of this podcast. Goodbye.
The Immigration Conversation Podcast is presented by Fragomen, the leading firm dedicated exclusively to immigration services worldwide. This episode is current as of the date of recording. With frequent changes in global immigration, be sure to keep up to date by visiting our website at www.fragomen.com and subscribing to the Immigration Conversation on your favorite podcast service to hear the latest episode. This podcast is for informational purposes only. This podcast does not constitute legal advice or give rise to an attorney-client relationship between any listener and our firm. If you have any questions, please contact the global immigration professional with whom you work at Fragomen.